Amen. Well, it is good to have John and Brenda Croker and family with us once again after quite some time of absence. They've been on the deputation trail, as some would call it, purgatory, but we don't believe in that. But it's we've been there, we know what it's like, and it's good to have them here. And Lord's working in their lives, and they're raising support to go to the field of Bolivia. And so we've been praying for them as they've been on deputation. And so he's going to come preach tonight and give us a little bit of an update of what the Lord's been doing in their lives. And so it sure is good to have you here.
Amen. Thank you so much for your faithful prayer and support throughout this time of deputation. We started full-time deputation in May of 2019. And then we worked systematically from the West and went over to Ontario. And then 2020, mid-March, and then, of course, COVID hit. And then we canceled all those meetings, rebooked them, canceled them again. And then finally, last year of August, we were able to, we were non-essential. We couldn't cross into the States, but through some hoops, we made it into the States. Had our travel trailer and our vehicle shipped over, and then we flew private airfare to Grand Forks and picked up our travel trailer and hit the road, and then we were busy that week on, and we're able to extend our stay in the U.S., and so that was good, and just recently pulled back in here to Winkler, Manitoba, and then just got out of our two-week prison time, and so free at last, and so we're excited to be out and about, and God did a great work. We had some very good missions conference. I think we left at a high 30s% wise, and now we're at sitting at 69% support. And so waiting on the baby. It was supposed to be here April 1st, but still waiting. And then so waiting for baby number 5 to show up, and then off to Alberta for some meetings, and then looking to go visit our home church in Yellowknife this May, and so that's exciting. It's been, 2018 that we were last there, joined membership, and were sent out of the Central Arctic Baptist Church, and are excited to go there and visit. And then after that, we're going back to Ontario to finally do those meetings that are rebooked, some for the third time now. And so we're excited about what God is doing. You know, it's such a great need for the Mennonite people everywhere. And on the trip, this last trip, I was able to finally finish a gospel tract that I had been working on for many years now. And several folks here did a lot of hard editing work with that. And I was able to get it printed and get some of them shipped out. There was a church in Seminole, Texas, a high population of Mennonites there. They wanted tracts. And so they received these German tracts as a young girl, they're going to a church there, and she, her parents own a bookstore, and so she's been able to give out hundreds of tracts in Low German, and just so excited to be able to reach these people. I'm working on a video presentation of the gospel now, just any means of getting the gospel out there, so pray for that, as well as MP3 recording of the gospel, so it'll be a word-for-word recording of what's in the gospel tract, and so please pray for us as we continue to hit the road. Pray that we get meetings and that we get our support and be able to reach the Mennonites of Bolivia with the gospel. Take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. And wow, what a privilege to be here. Not necessarily the reason why, and how pastor is out of the pulpit. And just can just imagine his heart this night, how, you know, Brother Timothy is out, going out to Kenora, and then a letter from his son, and so just how he's, you know, his heart is here, his heart is missions, and I just think of his great testimony, and, you know, just if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. You know, he started the church here, and then you have the Siemens that were out of here, and Mrs. Siemens being saved here, and then going up to Yellowknife, and taking over the work there, and through that ministry, I received a gospel tract written by Pastor Sullivan, but I received it all the way up in Red Earth, Alberta, and through that, many don't know my testimony, but I got a job there in power line construction in northern Alberta, and Doug Dirksen, he's now part of the church in Yellowknife, he was my boss, he gave me a gospel tract, and through that, God was working in my heart. And then 3 months later, I was transferred to Yellowknife with the same company that I was working for. And Andrew Weeb, many know that guy. And so he was my roommate. I moved in with him. And that night that I moved in with him, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And many miracles I've never shared, even in that story. One of them, I'm just thinking now, the truck that I was that I drove up to Yellowknife was from the company, but it was a gift for Pastor Siemens. And so here I am, a lost guy, taking up a truck, an answer to prayer for a pastor, and they gave him that truck, and here I was, lost, and got saved and grounded in the church, and I'm just so excited to be here. And then you have other connections. I was up in Yellowknife. I didn't even mean to share all this, but just by word of testimony. And then here I am, just saved and going to church. And then we receive a prayer letter from Brother Will Clausen. And I'd never heard about missions, prayer letters, nothing. And he spoke of the great need for the Mennonite people. And he mentioned Durango, Mexico. And that he mentioned the little village that I was born in. And just how I was stirred to reach my own people. And of course, God never opened that door up, but he has opened up a great door, and that's to reach the Mennonite people, same people group in Bolivia. Many are fleeing back because of COVID, and you know how they are, they just back and forth, but hundreds and hundreds moved back from Ontario back to Bolivia. And so the doors just open more and more, and just more and more people there to reach. So please pray for us. Another big project is a discipleship course in Low German. Just pray for that, and that I'd be able to get something ready to, you know, lead people to the Lord, but also then to train them and to disciple them. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. You know, a passage that we often go to, missions conferences, you'll hear it all the time. And just today in the evening, in the prayer time, you know, that was reiterated in prayer that, you know, one of the prayers is that we need laborers. And praise the Lord how God's been answering those prayers. And we see people filling pulpits. We see missionaries going. So keep praying. I want to look at a different aspect from this passage, but we'll read it. Verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Lord, we see your heart here, and we see your compassion and why you were compassionate, and we see also a problem here, but also how we can fix that, and that is pray. You're the Lord of the harvest, and we just do pray that you would send forth laborers into your harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice the phrase, verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes. And early on in my Christian life, I heard of the local church Bible publishers' Bibles and how they had a Bible that had nothing in it but the Bible, and I wanted one so bad without the references. I learned early in my Christian life that somebody did the hard work of getting all the cross references, and that's what I personally wanted to do. I figured I'd have an empty Bible, I would start reading, and then how when God communicated to me and stirred my heart, and then I would, you know, in my devotions, make connections with other verses and make my own reference Bible. Just like the others went in of old, you know, they didn't have that when they bought their Bible, you know, when it came fresh off the press back then, you know, and they had to work and they had to dig for it. And that's what happened here. I was reading my devotion to this passage and God was working my heart. But then let's flip to John chapter 20. The Great Commission is given, and I made a connection with this verse here. For the sake of time, I'll just get right into 21, verse 21 of John chapter 20. It says, Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And how I looked at that and God just convicted me, and through that a study began. And the fact of the matter here is that Jesus is saying, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. He's not just saying, you know, the fact is God sent Jesus and now Jesus sent us, but some very key words here. Notice what it says. He says, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. And what we see there is that Jesus has sent us in the same manner that God sent Jesus. God sent Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ, he sends us, and he says, I'm sending you in that same manner. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And so I studied, how was the Lord Jesus Christ sent? And that's what we're going to do this evening. We're going to look at some passages of how Jesus Christ was sent, how the Heavenly Father sent him, apply it to our own life, and thus we fulfill the Great Commission. And the message is the Great Commission through the eyes of Jesus. The Great Commission through the eyes of Jesus. And notice in our text passage, verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes. You know, out of ourselves, we don't have that love and that compassion. And what did all the other people miss? They missed what Jesus saw because they weren't looking at the world through the eyes of Jesus. Imagine if we took the time and we were spirit-filled when we woke up and we looked at this world through the eyes of Jesus. Would we still do what we do, or would we be changed? And would God do a work in our heart and we would see lost souls all around us and do whatever it takes to get the gospel out? I remember when I first got saved, and one of the questions I had is, I wonder how many paths of Christians did I cross? You know, I got saved at 19. All those years, how many people's paths of the Christians that I crossed that never stopped and shared the gospel with me? And I didn't want to be guilty of that. And how that's a great task. We are great debtors to this world, to the lost people. But the other people didn't see this. And why was that? It's because this is who he was. This was his heart. This was his the compassion. And I love the fact that we see why he was compassionate, and that is Jesus being the good shepherd that he is. He looked on these people, and that's why he was broken, because they were a sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus is the good shepherd, Psalm 23, and without him, or with him, we don't have any want, and he brings us by the still waters, he feeds us, and he comforts us, he protects us. And so this, here Jesus is looking on these people, and he sees them as sheep without a shepherd, and he has compassion on them because of it. And you know what? We don't notice things like that because it's not a part of us all the time. You know, just like you might have a career or a job that you do, and you might notice things. You know, I didn't think there would ever be a day I would look at a hydro pole and look at how well they tied in the transformer, and did they square off the square washer on the back, and did they tilt the pole far enough, and did they plumb it straight? But since I was involved in that for an occupation, then I noticed those things. Or I was welding before hitting the road, you know, and so I would, randomly you inspect welds, you know, did they, you know, wrap around nicely? Is it full of spatter? Did they clean it up nice? Is it full of porosity? How well does it look? And so, but it was because that was part of my life. I noticed those things. And people notice certain things because it's a part of their life. But do we notice the lost souls all around us? Is it a part of our life? And how serious we need to take the Great Commission. The Great Commission is not an option. The Great Commission is not man's idea. We have lost the fact that the Great Commission is a command to fulfill from the will of God. He is the one not willing that any perish. You know, it's his will. Oftentimes we wonder, I wonder what the will of God is for my life. And it's very easy. It's exactly that. It's his will. and it's for our life. It's not our will. And we have the mind of Christ. We have His will. And so it's very easy to find the will of God if we're searching for it, and He will be found. And so we can know the will of God, and it's His will that none perish, and it must become our will, must become part of our heart. We are not our own. We are bought with a price, the Bible says, and so we don't have ownership of ourselves. He has ownership of our life, and He can do what He wills. Yes, we have a free will, and that's usually what's in the way, and He has given us a free will that we thereby choose to love Him back in a love relationship, but He wants us to be yielded, and He wants our life. We are supposed to, Romans chapter 12, give our bodies a living sacrifice. Why? By the mercies of God. Think about what God has done in your life, the mercy of God. And by that, Paul was beseeching them, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Look what He did for your life. And now in return, give your life to Him. Missions must be seen through the eyes of Jesus. This is so important that, you know, we just don't go headlong into something and do it our own way, because it's not our heart, it's not our mission, it's not our will, but it must become that. But this is the heartbeat of God, and we must see missions through the eyes of Jesus. We must obey Matthew 28:18-20 and Mark 16:15, Luke 24:45-47, John 20:21, and then also Acts 1 verse 8, where the Great Commission is given, the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how serious He took it, but also how serious the local church is, and how He came to seeking to save that which was lost, but He also came to establish a church, and how serious we need to take the local church. You think about the God of heaven who spoke the world into existence, and He has power. By Him, all things consist. And you think about Him, and now He is orchestrating a great work here on earth. And He started that, Genesis chapter 12, with Abraham. And He was going to do a great work and provoke all the other nations to jealousy. And where, yes, they did reach out to some, where Rahab the harlot heard of the great works and how Jericho was going to be destroyed, but she trusted in the God of Israel. But ultimately, Israel was put on the shelf. And not that we replace Israel, but they are put on the shelf, and they are awaiting their last week that's determined upon Jacob. But until then, and in between then, think about the God of heaven, how He focused on everything on Israel and channeled everything through Israel. But now He looks at the local church, and He wants to do what He desires to do through the local church and through the pastor. And you think about the importance of who Moses was, or here in our day, how important there we think of Jesus being the good shepherd, but how He has then established and ordained the good, or the under shepherd, the pastor of the church, and how that structure is so important, and how God wants to work through that. And He gave some pastors and teachers, and that's what He wants to work through, to work in your heart, that you might find that perfect will of God for your life. But it's going to be through the local church, and how important it is. And the church is not just some choice or some option and just something we can just, you know, yeah, I'll take it or I'll leave it. But we need to see how serious it is and how God is doing everything in and through the local church. So we're going to look at the life of Jesus Christ and how He was sent, and apply it to our life to find the will of God. The first point is Jesus' mission. And you know, we think of mission, and we think of a mission statement. And you know, on our website we have a mission statement. It's very simple. I just rewrite Matthew 28 verses 18 and down, and that is our mission. You know, on our prayer card we're going to preach the gospel, and then we're going to plan churches and prepare nationals. That's what you find in Matthew chapter 28, where they taught them the gospel, they baptized them, and then they taught them all things whatsoever God had commanded, and thus they planted a church. And so when we see Jesus' mission, we're talking about, what did He come for? Why did He come? Jesus' very purpose of leaving heaven was missions. He came for a purpose, And that purpose was to seek and to save that which was lost, according to Luke 19:10. Jesus submitted to the will of the Father and came down from heaven to do the will of his Father. Take your Bibles to John 6:38. This was a very fascinating study, and when we go here, we're going to see this is Jesus testifying of how the Heavenly Father sent him, and then we're going to say, okay, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you, and then we're going to apply it to our life and be sent in that same manner. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. How powerful that is, that, you know, Jesus Christ, evidently, he had a will and he could choose, but he says, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And then he says, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And Jesus has sent us forth not to do our own will, but the will of him. And he left us with the Great Commission, and that is the will of God for our life. Now, God may use you, and God uses us in all different ways. I remember when I was first in Yellowknife, Pastor Siemens was teaching on Aquila and Priscilla, and I was just so jealous of that couple in the Bible, and I thought, man, if I could just get married and then go to a mission field and just help somebody for the rest of my life, you know, I would have been happy with that, and I was jealous. And I think it was Brother Jake that mentioned recently in one of his messages, are you jealous of a call? Are you jealous? Do you want to serve him? You know, the talks about the office of a preacher, how he desires it. Is there something in your heart? Do you desire to serve God? And he'll do it in whatever capacity he has called you to, but this is his will. And so that's the problem. We have our own will, and it gets in the way of what God wants to do. But we have to see from the scriptures that we can't get away from this as believers, and that this is our purpose, and how exciting it is to have purpose. And before I got saved, there was just no purpose. And I learned very young on, you know, the cycle of life and how that, you know, the worldly philosophy. I was 14. I never went to high school. Got a job when I was 14, full time. Had to drive an hour and a half, hit the 401 two times a day. That was miserable enough. And just how I learned that cycle. You go to work and you put in your hours and you can't wait till the weekend and party it up. And here's Monday and here we go again. And how it was just so empty, you know. And then the day I got saved, just the fullness and the purpose, and how I just received just a desire to do something and a purpose that God had fulfilled and had designed me for. And so we have a purpose. Let's fulfill our purpose. Let's see it from the scriptures. Jesus' mission must become our missions. This is the Great Commission through the eyes of Jesus, where we're going back to that account and we're looking through his eyes, being stirred the way he was stirred, and having compassion on this world, because this world as sheep have gone astray and they do not have a shepherd. And so that's what the heart that we want. Jesus submitted to the will of the Father and came down from heaven to do the will of the Father. So what was the will of the Father? Look at verse 40 of chapter 6, where we just were. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at that last day. At the last day. And so what was the will? That these people would be reached, and that one day when Jesus comes in the cloud, that they would be there with him. And that promise that he gave, that where I am, there ye may be also. This was his will, that the lost would be reached with the gospel. And he had that futuristic look, where that one day where he would raise them up at the last day. That is the will of the Father. Jesus' purpose was to please his Father in obedience to his Father's will. John chapter 8, verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And so evidently Jesus lived a life of faith where he didn't know what was coming necessarily, and where he lived a life of faith, he did those things which please the Heavenly Father. And so Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. So that proves that Jesus Christ walked by faith. He had a life of faith, but he gave his life to please the Heavenly Father. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Also, Revelation 4:11 says, for thy pleasure they are and were created. We are here, we are created to please the Heavenly Father. And Jesus Christ set that example, and he says, the one that sent me, he came here, the one that sent me, I am here to please him. And Jesus has sent us, and we are here to please and to fulfill the great commission that he has given us to do. Jesus worked hard at his mission and had a sense of urgency and an attitude where time was valuable and could not be wasted. John chapter 9 verse 4. John chapter 9 verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus was here to work. Jesus worked hard at the mission, at his mission, and had a sense of urgency and an attitude where time was valuable and could not be wasted. Jesus was here to work. Luke 2:49, Jesus declared, I must be about my Father's business. When they found him there, he was busy about his Father's business. Jesus always had in mind to finish the work. And so what we see here is Jesus Christ saying, this is how I was sent. This is my purpose in life. And he's saying, this is my focus in life, and this is what I'm here for. But then he also had that future look. He's explaining how he came, why he was here, and then the future and what he was planning to fulfill. Jesus always had in mind to finish the work given to him. We all have our time frame where we can work, and we need to finish that which God has given us to do. Take your Bibles to John 4, verse 34. Very powerful here. Jesus Christ is reaching out to the woman at the well, a Samaritan, where many of the Jews considered them dogs, just like the Gentile. They were a half-breed, and here he's reaching the woman at the well. The disciples go out for food, and they come back to him. But notice his reply when they offer him food. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And so here they come with a physical need and say, hey, Jesus, here's food. But then he turns it into a spiritual thing and says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And so John 19:30, after Jesus received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And so Jesus came to finish the work, and he did finish it. On the cross, he said, it is finished. Also, John 17:4, John says, or Jesus says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And so, just like the Apostle Paul, he knew that he had fulfilled the will of God for his life, and he had finished it. But we need to have that same outlook that whatever God has given us to do, we are going to fulfill it. We are going to finish the work he has given us to do. He was saying that that which he worked for and that which kept him going was the will of God. And would that be that that was our life, that we were consumed by the will of God, that the very next thing I want to do is the will of God, and thus fulfilling the will of God, I am energized to continue fulfilling the word of God, just like that meat would have helped him. You know, we live to eat, and then we eat so that we can further live. And that's what he was saying here. He's saying, you have that meat, but my meat is to do the will of God. That which consumes me, that what I take in, and keeps me going is the will of God. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Hebrews 12:2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You know, he says, I'm going to finish this. There's something ahead of this, something greater than all of this. And because of that, I'm going to endure the cross. So the first point was Jesus' mission. What was his purpose? Why did he come? And then we see how he was sent, and we apply that to our life, saying, it's not my will. I'm not here to do my own thing. I'm bought with a price. I don't have ownership of myself. I am God's, and I'm going to give myself to him. And I am sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, even as the Father had sent Jesus. Next, we see Jesus' might. And what I'm referring to is the power in which he did this work. Very important and very powerful. Jesus taught us to submit to God and taught us to rely upon God for the ability to fulfill the will of God. Take your Bibles to John 5, verse 30. John 5, verse 30, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. How powerful. He's teaching us that there's no way that you can do the work of God in and out of the flesh in your own power. And he himself said, I can of mine own self do nothing. So how dare we think that we can fulfill the will of God and the energy and the power of the flesh when our greatest example, Jesus Christ, taught us, I can of mine own self do nothing. And you think about it. Here he is sent by the Heavenly Father. We have the Word of God now, and we have Jesus' judgment as he was communicating to them. But then, you think about it. He was free to say whatever he wanted, but he submitted his will. He submitted his tongue to the will of the Father. And here he tells us, I can of mine own self do nothing. He says, as I hear from my Heavenly Father, I judge. And my judgment is just. It's because it's the Word of God. It's from his, yes, we have it here now, but he was hearing it from the Heavenly Father. He says, I judge, and my judgment is just. He's making just judgment calls. Why? Because he wasn't seeking his own will, but the will of the Father. And how we can apply that to our life, saying, you know, in situations and how pastors preaching now, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and we don't let our will interfere, and we submit ourselves to God, and we ask him for wisdom, and we make just judgments because we're not seeking our own will, but the will of him that sent us. And so this is how Jesus Christ was sent, and he then sends us in that same manner, and how we can do nothing out of ourselves. Jesus was spirit-led and scripture-led, the two which never contradict. Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, where we see Jesus Christ was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, and then he was confronted by Satan, but he overcame the devil by the Word of God, and so he was spirit-led, and he was scripture-led, the two which never contradict. Jesus taught the apostles the importance of being filled and controlled by the Holy Ghost. He said, gentlemen, don't even try to fulfill the Great Commission in your own power, in your own flesh. You better wait for 10 days until you be endued with power from on high. And yes, we know John chapter 21, if we would have read a little further, how he breathed on them, they received the Holy Ghost. And here he says, don't even try to touch this unless you're going to be filled with the Spirit. And we see in between there where they waited, and then they were filled with the power of the Spirit, and God did a miraculous work, but he taught them a very valuable lesson. Be filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit isn't something spooky or something weird, but really it's just being under the influence of the Holy Spirit and being controlled by him, so that we would do things that only the Holy Spirit can do and we can't do in and out of ourselves. Ephesians teaches us not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but rather be filled with the Spirit. In other words, don't be filled with this influence that'll influence you to do things that you would never think of doing, but rather be filled with the Spirit, and on that same side, you'll do things that you never thought you could do because you couldn't do in the power of your flesh, but by the Holy Spirit, you can. And you can put anything there. It doesn't have to be alcohol. It can be your own will, and your own desires, your own ambition. A lot of things can fill us where we cannot be filled with the Spirit, and so it's nothing weird. It's that same feeling that you get, like Philip, when he was supposed to reach the eunuch and he was filled with the Spirit. You've experienced that. It's nothing weird. The Holy Spirit comes and convicts you, tells you to share the gospel to that person, and you either say yes or no. And to that degree, you are filled or not filled or submitted. And it's not like, you know, we're robots and where we just let go and the Holy Spirit fills and we don't have a free will. No, we do have a free will. But we are there on that altar, a living sacrifice, where He can use us to how He wants to use us. And so, the importance of being Spirit-filled. Wow. We'll just hurry up to the next point. And that is Jesus' message. So we have His mission. Why was He here? We saw how He was sent. And then apply it to our life. We saw how that He was sent and did the work that He did, not in His own might, and how He did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. But then, what was His message? And His message was that which God gave Him to say. And I won't go to these passages, but it's John 12, 49 to 50, John 14, 24, and John 8, 26 to 27. And we did see aspects of that even here in John 5:30, where He didn't preach or express or say anything apart from the will of God. But the message was that which God gave Him, and His message was repentance, and His message was salvation. And Jesus preached that He was the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. He was the bread, the water, John 6:35. He was the light, John 8:12. He's the door, John 10:7. He's the good shepherd, John 10:11. He's the Son of God, John 10:36. He's the resurrection, John 11:25. He's the vine, John 15:5. He's the first and the last, Revelation 1:17. And He is the great I Am, Revelation 22:16. This was His message. No matter how you want to look at it, you know, if you're thirsty, He is that water of life. If you're hungry, He's that bread of life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so this was His message. And you know, in a synoptic form, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, we have a message, and that is to preach the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The only hope. I think about the Mennonites, and you know what? You share the gospel with them, and towards the end of trying to, you know, see where they stand, they'll say, I hope I'll go to heaven. And you know what? That's a dead hope. It's a wishful thinking. But the Bible says that we have a lively hope. Amen. And how do we have a lively hope? We have a living hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The only hope for mankind is Jesus Christ, because He's the only one that defeated sin, death, and hell, and the grave. And if anybody wants to go past the grave, they're going to have to go through Jesus Christ. That's why He is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's the message we have. Peter said, you know, to the guy begging, he said, silver and gold have I none. This is another message that I have, but he says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I you. We have Jesus Christ, and we better be busy giving Jesus Christ out. The Great Commission through the eyes of Jesus. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed, stand to our feet. And a time of invitation. And just maybe questioning yourselves. You know, I think of the simplicity of the Scripture, and then also how Jesus is the greatest example, and how simple this was. It was just saying, okay, the Father sent Jesus. Jesus now sends us, and He sends us in the same manner. Now let's look at the Scripture and just apply it to our life. I think about Pastor sharing how that, you know, if you go to the bed in the will of God, you're going to wake up in the will of God. and just continuing that cycle and having that walk with God, that faithful walk with God. And just like Jesus saying, okay, I'm going to wake up next morning, and now I'm not here to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, and just continue life. Where are you in the Christian life? Christians, is God perhaps calling you? We talk about laborers, the need, but also we have the aspect of, you know, just giving our life to the Lord Jesus Christ in the same example that he gave his life to the Father. As the musicians play, if you need to come, please come forward. Or maybe you're lost here. Maybe you have a way, you have some truth, but Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And you know what, if you want hopes of past the grave and to go to heaven, it's only going to be through Jesus Christ. And if you're lost here, you can be saved and then be in Christ and then be resurrected just as he was.